Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould. And this is the gathering, and we are here to answer and discuss questions that you've written to us. And by the way, if you want to call in with a question or to join the discussion, you know, we don't bite. It's fine. You know, you can call us at 888-627-6008. I know a lot of you have written in things for us to discuss, and we're happy to do that. Before we get started, just mention that our summer solstice raffle, where you can win one of five medium readings, is up and running, and you can link into that from the events page of our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. By the way, on the events section of our website is where you want to check for all of our events and raffles and webinars. Speaking of webinars, the next one up is March 17th, which I'm going to be doing. It's a medium explosion webinar. We're going to talk about and learn about mediums and how they work and how to behave and what to look out for and all that good stuff. I should also mention that we have another author in the mix here, Melissa Gould's book. She has a children's book called Dream Job, so you might want to check that out. And I should also mention the grief retreat. We're sorry, but we put up the grief retreat, and in 48 hours, all the spots were taken, and we wish we could accommodate more, except that we don't by design, because we want it to be an intimate experience, and we don't have more than 50 people at these things. Otherwise, it kind of loses its effectiveness. So we do have another one on the calendar in sunny Florida in January, and there's some well-known mediums that we'll be announcing that are going to take part of that, so you could watch the events page for that. And we're trying hard to have some more, either in the same areas or different areas, possibly in the West Coast. So keep checking the events section, and we'll get any events up there as soon as possible. So we're here today to, as we are on the most gatherings, is to discuss things that people have written in. And let's just dive into some of these questions, and then, you know, we'll also take some calls. Well, you know what? Why don't we do this for a change? I mean, we have a caller on the line. Why don't we, before we get into the others, let's take a caller sure. Right now. So let's see. We have a lot of callers, so I have to open up.
Say again, Bob.
Let's go to Denise on line one. Hello, Denise?
Yes, hello.
Hello, hi. Welcome to the gathering. Did you have a question or something that you'd like to discuss?
Yes, I had a couple questions I put online, but I'll start with my first question was that I have a son who's in his 20s. He has autism. He's high functioning. I've always thought of him as my angel because he's always taught me, as well as anyone he's come in contact with, kindness and compassion for others. It oozes from him in so many ways, and I'm always learning from him. And I read a book once, and I can't remember the author, but it was I believe it was titled Indigo Children or Indigo Child, And I guess the gist of it is that they're here to bring kindness and compassion, to teach people, you know, goodness and whatnot. And I've often wondered if that is the case with my son, as well as, you know, is he, he almost seems like a kindred spirit to me. And I wonder, I feel like I'm completely myself with him. There's no inhibitions that I've known him, that there's a comfort level there that I can't explain, that I don't have with anyone else. And I just wonder if, you know, if he's here for that reason, and how do we interact with those people? Are there more of them? You know, how do we help them on their journey? That's basically the gist of my question.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that you're right. I mean, you know, I've come across, you know, indigo children before, and it sure seems as if they're here for a purpose, you know, and they are, an elevated soul. You know, you mentioned, you know, so your child has you know, special needs. Did you mention that was with, he's autistic or he or she?
Yes. He has autism. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of research going on, and what some scientists are starting to find out, like Dr. Diane Powell, who's a medical doctor, is that autistic children are often blessed with high functioning psi ability, extremely telepathic, and have abilities, you know, beyond the five senses. So I think that we as a society look at these things wrong in a lot of cases, because, I mean, somebody may have, you know, you may have something wrong with the hardware in your brain that processes things, but your consciousness, or, you know, your mind is not affected, you know, or your soul. So they may be tuning into a higher channel than the rest of us mere mortals are.
Hi, Denise. I work as a special education teacher, and my current student population are mostly early intervention, meaning up to the age of 3. But when I did have older students on the autism spectrum, sadly, many of them were at the lower end of the spectrum, but those others who had more abilities and were higher functioning, I completely feel what you do with your son. There's another book. I know of the Indigo Children book, but I don't think I ever read it. But there was another book where the mother was so in tune with her son and just tried to be in his world. Now, again, this sounds lower functioning than your son in that I don't think he could communicate very well. But that's exactly the sense I always got, Denise, from these children. I tried to impart that to some of the parents, and sadly, you know, they didn't see it as you do, that it, I feel it was a gift that you've been given this child. And I always felt honored and blessed to be able to work with them and try to figure out, you know, what's going on. So I think you're right to, you know, question this with the indigo children and keep on looking and believing.
That's exactly how I feel. And like I said, I learn from him every day. You know, just to give you a small example, on a very small scale, but it spoke volumes to me. Nicholas was diagnosed when he was 3, and I had him in an early intervention, and I've done everything from, you know, homeopathic stuff to a few medications, not much. I always tried to go the homeopathic route with him. But when he never lacked for emotions and being in tune with feelings and very loving. And there was a time when I did something and I went to apologize to him. And normally when you apologize to someone, they just say, "That's okay, don't worry about it," or "Yeah, okay," or "Okay." And I said that to him for the very first time, and he turned to me and he said, "Mom, I accept your apology." And it just took me back because it was so validating to me, and it felt heartfelt and real. And no one has ever said those words to me whenever I apologized for something. And it just really took me back. And it had just such profound meaning to me on a deeper level. And I knew that I was forgiven and there was no question. And, you know, and like I said, that's on a small scale. There's been so many things. Everyone he's come in contact with just loves him to death. And he's just such a kind soul. And so I feel like I've known him forever and ever and ever. And I feel like there's so much more I have to learn from him.
Yeah,
and I just wonder what I can do to help him along the way.
I think you're doing.
I do, too.
Yeah, a heck of a lot. And you're both blessed to have each other and learn from each other. And it's not only you that's learning, but, you know, those that surround him. So I wish you continued love and compassion, and thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. While we're taking calls, we might as well take another call. We have Cheryl from California on line four. Cheryl, are you there? Let's see. Don, we still have Cheryl on the line?
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm still on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I've got bad reception out here.
Oh, okay.
But
can you hear us?
It's important to get through. Yeah, I can, yeah.
Okay. Did you have something you'd like to discuss?
Yes, I do. I'm in this horribly vindictive family drama right now. I'm trustee, and it's just there's a lot of junk coming up from the other beneficiaries. I'm wondering, does my dad care? Is he trying to help me? Once people go into spirit, do they just kind of like, you're on your own and take care of the earthly life?
Yeah. Well, I think that those in spirit do keep tabs on us and are aware of what's going on. How much intervention they can do is up for debate. You know, they probably could nudge you and others in the right direction or in the direction that you should be, you know, going towards. But, you know, sometimes we make a mistake and we think our loved ones are going to, you know, just solve all of our problems, you know, and maybe that's not the purpose. You know, the purpose is, you know, for us to come up with our own answers, but certainly the evidence seems to show that they do put thoughts in our heads and they do create these synchronicities that help us along the way.
Yeah. Can you tell how things are going to turn out? I'm just down in the last count here.
Yeah, I think we ought to note that we are not mediums. The gathering is more of an academic discussion, but none of the three of us have any connection to the other side, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah, that might be a question for you to address to our mediums and messages show, you know, which is on a different format on a different week. I think it's the third Thursday of every month. So,
I will do that.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, Cheryl, and good luck.
Best of luck to you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let's try to go to Norm from Michigan. Norm, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Bob. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you? Welcome to the gathering. You have something to ask or discuss, Norm?
Yeah, I was curious. You work a lot with people who experience NDEs.
Yeah.
I was wondering if people who go through that, once they're back, do they change their views of religion or become more spiritual or anything?
Absolutely. Not so much. A lot of them become infinitely more spiritual and not necessarily religious afterwards. But the thing about near-death experiences is that it leaves the the person who comes back with a new perspective on life, and they very often change the way that they live. They may go from a very materialistic life to one of a more spiritual in nature. They may pass on certain, you know, habits and the way that they lived before. Lots of times they act with more compassion and understanding. And others, though, have trouble, you know, readjusting to the physical world, you know, when it's a, you know, that they wanted to be where they were, not necessarily with the, you know, the place that they had to come back to.
Where, right, and people, I read that.
Yeah, and people don't understand. They can't possibly understand that they can, you know, the experiences can't even put it into words to describe, you know, what they've gone through. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating subject, and, you know, people have all different kinds of experiences, and some, you know, go through a tunnel, some meet with deceased loved ones, some are imbued with all this knowledge all at once, you know, some describe, you know, great, you know, beauty and synesthesia and, you know, experiencing colors and sound. So, yeah, when you think about it, how could you not change after going through something like that? Everything that we're taught to believe sort of gets thrown out the window once you've been to the other side, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was thinking. It's like all my life I'm taught these things in religion and what to do, what to say, how to act. But then once you get a spiritual experience like that, does that mean all that stuff is out the window?
You want to add something, Tom?
I don't think that's an interesting question, because it depends on your definition of religion. Because if you, and I've spoken many times on this program about what is at the base of the religion is the prophet's message. The message of Jesus, the message of Muhammad, the message of Buddha, the message that they purvey is of an eternal life, is of love and compassion. But if you look at the dogma of religion, they have gotten away from that, you know, into the pomp and circumstance. And so, yeah, if you have an NDE, you could be more in tune with what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha have said, Abraham as well, Moses, in the sense that you get in touch with the massive love that is the energy of the universe, and you get very tied to that. And as Bob mentioned, when you come back from an NDE, a lot of people experience regret that they were brought back. No, it was so beautiful over there. I was just surrounded by complete love and that, and I like that. I don't want to be back here in the pedestrian world. So hopefully that addresses your question, that yes, you can have a very religious experience, but you don't, you come back and you're not necessarily thinking in terms of the ceremony and all the trappings that religion has to offer these days.
Thank you. I appreciate your help. I love the show and I listen quite often. So
I'll just shut up.
And I'll listen the rest of the time.
Okay. Thank you, Norm. Have a good evening. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Norm. All right, let's go to Diane from New York. Do we have Diane?
This is Diane.
Hi, Diane. Welcome to the gathering.
Thank you so much. I actually have a question about soul communicating. Does it take them a specific amount of time before a loved one can communicate with you when they've passed over? I lost the love of my life 6 weeks ago. And I'm sorry. And I was just wondering, does it take them time to acclimate? You know, do they have to wait a certain amount of time before they can actually give you signs that they're around you?
Well, you know, Diane, there's evidence both ways. I mean, there are some people that communicate hours after they pass, and there are some that, as you mentioned, that takes a while to acclimate, and it takes months or sometimes even years. I've always looked at it.
He's actually communicated with me hours after he passed. I did get signs from him, and I do get little signs. But I'm talking about, I probably worded that incorrectly. If I go to a medium now, would that make sense, or should I wait a longer time before I try to communicate with him?
I don't, you know, I don't think there's any definitive answer on that. I know a lot of the mediums will say that they recommend that a certain amount of time elapse. You know, some say they put an arbitrary number there, like 6 months, only because they feel that, you know, because your grief is so new and profound that somehow that may interrupt the information from flowing, or you might not recognize some of the information. On the other hand, I know of people that have gone to mediums very early on and received outstanding evidence and communication. So I don't think that we're in a position to say one way or another. I think it depends on the person on the other side. You know, some are better communicators than others. I always like to think of it that we need, you know, the people in the spirit world probably have their own mediums to help them communicate to the physical world.
Interesting.
You know, so some people, let's face it. I mean, you're in a total, you led this physical life for so long, and you're thrust into this world where you're an entity of thought and energy, and it must be quite overwhelming and amazing. And so, and plus you may be doing some exploration on your own. So, but one thing that we do know from the work with the mediums all the years is that the most important thing for somebody that has passed over is to let the loved ones know in the physical world that they still survive. I mean, so one way or another, they're going to figure out a way to do that. And that could be through a medium. That's just one option. It could be through a dream visitation. It could be through after-death communication, some of which you've already started to receive. It could be from a third-party source, you know, a friend of yours that, you know, maybe they can't get through to you and they get through your friend. So, we hate that we can't say one way or another, but there's evidence for both, you know. I think the time is right. If you're specifically thinking about going to a medium, when you feel it's right, you know.
I'd also have to add, it is quite difficult to get an appointment with a medium. So you might contact one and be told you're still going to have to wait a year. So you might almost put it in the hands of your loved one.
That's a good point.
If you're going for a talented evidential medium, hopefully.
Right.
And maybe I
would only take a certified medium from Forever Family Foundation.
Well, yeah. There you go. Get on a wait list.
Yeah, most of them do have a long wait list. So, yes, if you start now the process, you will get yourself in line. And as Melissa says, some of our better mediums can have a wait list up to a year or 2 years. So
right.
Get that process. And then don't lose hope, because I know, you know, I feel so, I feel for your loss, and I am very sorry
Thank
to
you.
Hear this. But I think what you want to do is, if you get in the line, there are things that happen along the way where they'll get a cancellation, and you may not have to wait the full time, but start the process. Yes, I would recommend starting the process. Yeah.
I'll say that we're trying to rectify that problem, Diane. We're trying to certify more mediums. So when there's more mediums, then you won't have to wait as long. So we're working
on
that.
Well, luckily, living on Long Island, there are several that are that I know about. And I feel pretty fortunate. I have a pretty good pick here
to
find somebody.
That is true. There are many good ones.
Yeah.
Yes, there are, absolutely. I had just one other question. Have you ever, or have you had mediums tell you that they can't read people for whatever reason? That there are people that, they sit down with and they just can't get anything?
Yeah, I mean, listen. When there's a medium reading, there has to be a resonance with three parties: the person in spirit, the medium, and the sitter. And if that's not all matching, it's not going to happen. Now, what we found is that the good mediums, like our certified mediums, are much more consistent. They rarely have that happen. But sure. And if a medium should be in that situation where no connection whatsoever is being made for whatever reason, we would hope that an ethical medium would offer to refund your money because, there's nothing happening. So, yeah, I mean, it does happen. But it happens less frequently. Frequently with, very experienced evidential practitioners.
And I can jump in here with a plug. Bob has just published a book called The Medium Explosion, which talks about all of this. And it's a great book. I've read it, and it's called, The Medium Explosion by Robert Ginsberg.
Available through Amazon.
Do I get that through Forever Family, or is it in the stores?
Yeah, you could go on Amazon, but there is a link on our website to the book, so either way.
Oh, perfect. Okay, that's perfect.
There's also a webinar on March 17th where we're going over all this stuff, all about mediumship, so that's on the events page on Forever Family Foundation. You might enjoy the webinar.
I absolutely am sure I would, and I am a member, so
all right, good.
I'll definitely look that up. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
We're sorry for your loss, but thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, so let's get to some of the questions that some people have written in. Here's one that I think we've seen that question before. Sometimes we have the question is about babies. Babies who have died. Do they continue in the afterlife at the age that they were when they passed, or do they age and grow in the afterlife? So my feeling would be that chronological age in the physical world has nothing to do with their existence in the afterlife. So, that baby or that child, and it, might be hundreds of years old, in the afterlife in terms of their soul. I don't think that a baby stays a baby because, we shed our physical bodies. So you're just this entity of consciousness, and that baby's consciousness isn't subject to any chronological age, my opinion. I don't know if you guys have a different opinion.
I'd have to agree with that. Yes, exactly, because time is irrelevant on the other side, for one. And for two, I've seen many readings where a medium will bring a lost child, babies through, and even miscarriages. The baby who was miscarried will come through in a reading, and then they'll speak, communicate just as well as an old grandfather who has passed. So a soul is a soul is a soul, and if their soul is connected to you in that regard, as a baby, as a child, as a brother, as a they will be still a soul connected to you as long as you're here, and when you're on the other side, you'll actually meet up with these souls. So,
okay. All right. I guess we should get to as many calls as we can. So let's go to Michelle from Massachusetts.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I haven't read your book, Bob, but I know of it. But I had a couple of medium readings recently. My dear brother passed about a year ago. He was killed in a car accident. And I was having a reading, and the medium brought up something that I had kind of put to rest in terms of whether to pursue, you know, some legal action against the driver. And my brother was, they were communicating with my brother in all four of these readings, and so the information that came forth was reportedly from my brother. And when in the first reading there was a suggestion that there were pieces of thing that what happened that we didn't know that might be worth pursuing, that sent me down a path of, now I feel like I need to test this with another medium. And so that I did with a total of four mediums, two of whom I have a track record with pre my brother's passing that I know are very good, two who have been tested through your group and certified, and received three very different pieces of advice and guidance, all reportedly coming through my brother. And as I said, the two I've certainly had readings from in the past over the years, I know to be very good. But I guess this can be the problem then of going to a couple of people. So I'm left a bit perplexed. I haven't done anything yet, but just wanted to ask you all what you, I know that no medium is 100%, but where this was a really focused sort of question and issue, it was interesting to get, you know, the different responses. And some of that included, you know, one person saying, you know, my brother had done his life review and was in a very high place. These were not his concerns at this point, where another one was saying, this last piece of his life and his life has not been put to rest because of such and such a, you know, what happened in the accident. Very different. So I just wondered if you could comment on that.
Well, yeah, I could. I could probably comment for about an hour on it, but we don't have time. But there's a lot of things here. I mean, let me ask you a question. When you went to each of these four mediums, did you pose the question to them specifically, asking for advice about this, or was this information that came up during a general reading?
I asked at some point, and my brother, the first reading, no. I mean, my brother was communicating, and the medium was clear about what happened. I hadn't said anything, and then brought forth this piece of information about some of the details. And then when I went to the others, I, at some point in the reading, mentioned it.
Yeah. All right. 'Cause the reason I ask is that, you know, sometimes I feel that, like, if you pose a question, and we don't usually recommend that you pose a specific question to them as opposed to them, you know, bringing you information, because it puts them in a position, whether they're doing it consciously or subconsciously, where they're mixing in their own interpretation, and you mentioned advice and guidance. You know, we don't want them, giving advice and guidance. We want specific pieces of information. So, you know, by giving you a piece of information saying, you know, that your brother had a life review, or that your brother might be in an elevated place right now, that may very well be true, but there's no way of you validating that. How could we know? You know, I mean, it's not right. Not a piece of knowledge that you have, or, you know, it's just conjecture. You know, we can't say whether the medium is right or wrong. So, you know, we much prefer when the medium gives you factual information, specific information, and if that relates to the accident, you know, fine. I mean, there have been many cases where people have received such information directly too, without mediums, you know, in a dream or a precognitive thing, or through a voice or a vision or something along those lines. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that different mediums gave you different information on that. You know, I put a lot of that into the category of, you know, of general information as opposed to specific evidence. So, I mean,
but I will add that much of the readings, the rest of these, each of these readings was very spot on.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, you know, that's good. And then, well, you know, so the medium, as I said, they may be in a position where they know that you really need to know, you know, this information. But, you know, I think where they stray a little bit is, you know, when they start offering advice and guidance as opposed to what your brother is saying, you know.
Right. Although when they did that, it was given to me as, this is what your brother is saying.
Okay. Well, then that.
You know, well, but I hear what you're saying. Maybe they're not even sure sometimes, and they're mixing their own, that they don't realize mixing their own with maybe something they're hearing my brother say.
Right. Yeah. And you'll also, again, the mediums are not, it's not like they have an earbud in and the spirit is talking to them in sentences that they can understand. A lot of times a spirit will send images that make sense to the medium, and they can translate what they're getting. But also, mm-hmm. mediums are people, and their ego gets involved. And they're not only are they people, but for the most part, they're very compassionate people. And that you have this, you've come to them wanting specific answers. They want more than anything to give you a specific answer to your question. And so that, I think, is when their ego kicks in a bit. Like you even said so yourself. You didn't know if they were kind of extrapolating or if they were getting it directly from spirit. And I think there is definitely a combination of both. As you said, you were getting a good reading otherwise. So they and these are certified mediums that they do get information. It's just when they turn around and give that information to you, they might want to try to make it fit your question. And that's when you get into discrepancies, I think.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you for calling, Michelle. We appreciate it.
And good luck.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Here's another one along those lines that came in an email, you know, about babies. You know, do stillborn babies have a soul? And how do I connect or know my baby is with me if I never knew what he liked or really got to know him? Well, you know, it goes back to kind of what we were saying before, that, you know, of course, the babies do have a soul. And connecting and the chronological age of the baby is immaterial. So you're connecting with the baby on a non-physical consciousness level. And the communication doesn't have to be factual about I mean, the baby was stillborn, didn't have a physical life, but still can communicate with you. And who knows, maybe, you know, your baby had many lives before, you know, or maybe an old soul, so to speak, or maybe the baby is aware of things that are going on in your life. So, you know, I think it's a mistake to think that any type of a baby, stillborn or not, doesn't have a soul. I think that we all do.
Yes.
Don't you think too, Bob, that sometimes the child was conceived and the stillborn episode did happen to bring some new aspect to the parents' lives, some self-awareness, added love, compassion? We don't know, but there are many, many, many different ways that you can look at that, and just know that you know, if somebody's even questioning it, it was because they love this child, and that might have been the child's whole purpose for reaching the point that it did, just to be loved and wanted, and now evolves further on the other side.
Right. Well said. All right, let's go back to live call. We have Ashley from Ohio.
Hi, guys. How are you?
All right. How are you, Ashley? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. This is amazing what you guys do. I guess I don't really have a question per se. My mother passed away in December. She did have cancer, but then she ended up getting COVID, we're pretty sure, you know, she had passed from the COVID. This woman was my best friend. She was my life. I would always call her my angel on earth. She was the rock to our family. We're a big Italian family, and she was just everybody's everything. The beginning in December, even into January, of course, I'm going through the grieving. This is the first person that I've ever, that I lost close to me, very close to me. So it was kind of the first time in my life that I was grieving. Recently, I've been feeling, I feel like I'm on some type of a journey, and I don't know what it is. I was born and raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 12 years, but I've always had questions. Recently, I've been getting these signs. Call me crazy. I guess my question is, am I crazy? Is this just like some spiritual journey that I'm going through? Like every single morning when I would wake up, the first thing I would do is me and my son would get up. My son's 4. I'd go downstairs and I called my mom, see how she's feeling for the day. So when she passed, I told my husband, I said, you know, the mornings are going to be the roughest for me because the first thing I would do would be checking on her. Yeah. So for the past 3 weeks, every single morning, I go with the dogs out in the morning and there's this bird in this tree, right? This tree very close to my house. Every morning, chirp, 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 it gets my attention. And then I say, good morning. And then it goes away, and I don't see it again for the rest of the day. So it's like, am I crazy? Is this my mind going crazy? Or is this a sign? Like, it's the signs that I'm confused on.
Yeah, well, you asked the number one question that people ask after suffering a loss and having signs or experiences, am I crazy? Because it's not something that you ever paid attention to or experienced before. Mm-hmm. And suffering the loss of a loved one is traumatizing, and it's a catalyst for you to explore and contemplate things that you never contemplated before. So are these signs, you know, from your mom? You know, I mean, It comes from within. If it's something that you can't explain by physical means, then yeah, you know, these are communications. You can choose to dismiss them, but when you start to get to accumulate many of these signs, it's hard to it's not as easy to dismiss them as they might be right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But you're in a new world now, you know. You're looking at things that you never noticed before, you know, and it's a combination of the sadness and being open and wanting to know, is she okay and where is she, you know? And the am I crazy thing is the most common thing. I mean, you have no idea. I mean, everybody asks that question because, you know, your religion might tell you you're crazy, or your family might tell you you're crazy, or your colleagues might tell you, or your friends, but you're not. I mean, these after-death communications have been going on since the dawn of man, you know?
I mean, I feel like this journey is a beautiful journey. I'm enjoying it, to be honest. I mean, it's making me look into a lot more, and I guess last question for you is, how do you feel about past life regression? Because I've been dabbing into that a little bit more. Like a past life regression therapy, well, I guess.
I don't have a strong opinion one way or another. I can tell you that the researchers in the field that study past life memories of children and reincarnation don't recognize past life regression because they feel that past life regression takes place while you're in a hypnotic state, and a hypnotic state is highly suggestive, so they don't fully trust the information that comes through. On the other hand, you're probably familiar with a lot of books that have been written, you know, by Michael Newton and Brian Weiss and so forth. And a lot of that evidence seems compelling. So I don't really have an opinion one way or another. I just know, you know, as a whole, you know, what the researchers seem to feel. A lot of people seem to get great benefit out of it, you know, and they recognize why they do certain things now, you know, reasons for it. Why people might be afraid of water or claustrophobic or, you know, uncomfortable in certain situations. I don't know if Tom, Melissa, you have any? Do you know anybody that's had past life regression?
No, it's something I know nothing about, really.
That's something interestingly that I was going to question tonight on our program. Just wondering, well, how would that affect us now? Other than as what Bob said, maybe giving you an understanding of why you might feel a certain way towards water or blood or but I don't really know in the grieving process how that would help.
I did have a couple of comments as I was listening though. One thing I would recommend, because as you say, when you go out in the morning and that bird is there and you see the bird and you say, oh, hi mom, and it makes you feel good. But then there will be those days when the bird's not there, or maybe weeks when you don't get anything, and you're going to say, oh, you're going to go back to saying, well, I must have been in my head. I must be nuts.
And I thought of that too. And I said, sometimes I dread walking down the steps because I automatically want to see that bird. And I'm scared for the day when I don't. Am I crazy?
What I want to recommend is keep a journal. Every time when you see the bird, you know, today, March 4th, I saw the bird, you know, March 5th, I saw the bird. Or March 8th, I got in the car and I turned on the radio. It was my mom's favorite song. Things like that. You know, a feather was in my path. You know, the coin that was on your dresser when you didn't. No, it wasn't a coin here before.
Yeah.
Keep a journal of those things, and then when you're in a period when you haven't seen a sign for a while, you look at that journal and you look at, wow, look at how many signs I have seen. And the other thing I want to just comment on is you mentioned at the beginning that she was your angel in your life. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? She still is your angel in life, very really now.
She is. And I've like I said, I always called her my angel on earth, and now I just call her my angel in heaven. And I had a reading from a medium not too long ago, and I just, you know, I said the same thing I said to you guys earlier. She was the rock to our family. She was. And the medium just stopped me right there, and she goes, she said that you were the glue. You family were the glue. I feel like my mother was such a spiritual person that I'm not surprised at all if these signs are her. I have to stop questioning them. I need to stop being skeptical about them because beautiful souls live on, and she was definitely a beautiful soul. And like I said, I don't know why I called you guys. I don't know why. I guess I wanted to say thank you for what you're doing for other people. It's amazing. It's great. It's great. So well, thank you.
And also, skepticism is not a bad thing. Stay skeptical, because as soon as you start saying, oh, you know, everything is true, that's when people will take advantage of you. So always question the motives.
That's right. Prove me wrong, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Ashley.
You guys have a great night. Thank you again.
You too. Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Here's a simple one. Do our loved ones know how much we still love them?
Aww.
Tell them.
Yeah. That's what Tom's saying, let them know. But I think that it goes... I think it goes deeper than that. I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to tell them in voice. They know from consciousness to consciousness, mind to mind, emotions. Transcend the physical world, and so they feel love. The counterpart of that is, do they feel our sadness? You know, if they could feel our love, to me, thinking logically, and not necessarily spiritually, they could feel our sadness too. So I guess many people, such as myself, I kind of kick myself in the ass once in a while and say, well, this is not good, because if my loved ones can feel my sadness and it's affecting them adversely, I don't want to inflict that on them. So I try to get over it. It's not easy, but for everybody. But when you think of it in those terms, it certainly is an incentive to get on with your life the best that you can,
Well, thinking about them is definitely always a good thing. Just having them in your thoughts, and again, acknowledging any sign from them, because it keeps them going. It keeps elevating them and you.
Yeah. And people will bring that up once in a while. People feel silly. As Tom mentioned, tell them, sometimes people feel silly talking out loud to somebody that they can't physically see. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I do it. And sometimes it comes back, in certain ways that they know that we're talking about, about them. So I guess it all goes with the thing that we're always talking about in setting intention, right? And whether that be lighting a candle, or if you want to try electronic voice phenomenon and asking them, or if you're going for a medium reading before the reading, set your intention and ask somebody in spirit to come through. So it's something that we do on a regular basis. Well, it's almost that time. I'd like to thank everybody that called in and wrote in. If we didn't get to your question, hopefully we will in the next show. We will talk about our global peace prayer now, which we end the show with. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as to the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.